Good morning. One of the great things about preaching, you get to pick your own hymns. My favorite hymn we sing at the end of the service, Be Thou My Vision. It's a great Irish hymn. The image you're looking at on the screen right now is from 200 A.D. It's called an orant figure. Orant comes from the Latin term to pray, prayer, supplication. It is a woman in an attitude of prayer and supplication. It is one of the earliest images in Christian art. It's from the tomb of Priscilla in the catacombs beneath Rome. There are 4 million people buried beneath the streets of Rome. These catacombs are filled with images of early Christians who had been persecuted, and this is one of them, in an attitude of prayer. When we come to church on Sunday morning, every Sunday we see April do this same thing. If you notice, during the benediction, as most ministers do, they will put their arms out like this to pronounce the benediction. When she does that, she is making a gesture that goes back 2,000 years. A gesture that connects all of us to the Christians of that early church in a legacy of faith that we will talk about today. The title of my sermon today is Service, a Legacy of Faith. And we have quite a legacy here. It is passed on from generation to generation. It connects us to Christians of the past and to the early church. We pass our faith on in our traditions from generation to generation, so God's love and power can continue to heal this world that is hurting and in need then and now. Our gospel verse this morning is from John, book of John, John 13, 12 through 15. While Jesus was preparing for the feast of the Passover, he had gathered with the disciples in the upper room. And after dinner, he rose up, took off his clothes, put on a towel, girded himself with a towel, got a dish of water, and knelt down and he washed their feet. He took the towel he was wearing, he wiped their feet. One after another, he did this. Verse 12 says, "And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for this is what I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you.'" Verse 15 again. "For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." Here, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the world, has taken on the role of a servant and washed the feet of disciples and given them an example of what he has called them to do for the world, to be a servant to your brothers and sisters. God's Spirit flows through his people to minister to a world in need. We don't give just a certain portion to the world. God does not pour out his Spirit on us and say, "Okay, there you go, that's what you got for the rest of your life, use it sparingly." He doesn't say that. It's not limited. So we have to go around and hold it pressure and just dab it out when we can, because we've got to go the whole life with it. No. The Spirit is a river that is constantly flowing from the throne of God through us to a world that desperately needs God's love, healing, and forgiveness. And it is our privilege and responsibility to be open vessels and channels for His Spirit to flow through to this world. But too often there are things in our lives that hinder or block the flow of this healing water. One of them is insecurity. We don't feel equipped to serve people in need. We don't see ourselves as knowledgeable enough in the Scriptures or experienced enough in the field of ministry, so we don't feel capable of doing this. Last week, R.C. preached on faith and how God meets us at our level of faith. How God walks beside us, not in front of us, ahead of us, not behind us. He walks right next to us at our level of faith and ministers through us. God has given each of us a gift, as R.C. talked about last week. And God can use each of these gifts to minister to this world in need. Don't let your insecurities block that flow. God needs this water to flow to the world. And we are these channels. We are these vessels. But we often in this river get these giant boulders. We get debris that floats in and blocks it. So it trickles out rather than flows out. And insecurity is one of these. Another one is pride. Pride with a capital P on a very large rock. Boom, right in the middle of the river. That impedes flow. Pride can be a big deterrent to God's Spirit moving in our lives. Are we too important to minister to those less fortunate than ourselves? Is our time too precious to give to other people who might need a bit of it, just a small bit of it, to help them with a problem in their life? Some people say, I don't carry other people's burdens. Well, Jesus took the burden of the world's sin on his shoulders. Who are we to say that we will not help our brothers or sisters when they have a burden? Jesus calls us to be a servant to one another. Pride is not conducive to the spirit of a servant. I'll repeat that one more time. Pride is not conducive to the spirit of a servant. It blocks the flow of God's healing to a world which desperately needs it. I came across a wonderful quote from an officer in World War I. His name was Andrew Holmes. He says, speech is conveniently located midway between thought and action, where it often substitutes for both. Interesting. Speech is conveniently located midway between thought and action, where it often substitutes for both. We too often speak before we think, and too often talk when we should be acting. 2 weeks ago, Sandra Dolby said in her sermon that we need to slow down. She talked about being in her car, talking on the phone, putting those post-its up there, you know, and how often do we do that? We're driving, post-its, phones. Life in the 21st century is hectic. Who has time to slow down? Who has time to talk to God? Who has time to think? This is where the thought comes in. What do you want me to do for your life, Lord? We need to stop, focus, and think about the gifts and the faith God has given us. Then we need to act on them. There's a book called The Great Ngi. Ngi is Bulu for witch doctor. The story of a jungle doctor. And it's about a man, here, see a portrait of him, named Dr. Silas Johnson. He was born on December 22nd, 1865, in a small town in Iowa. He moved to Los Angeles to get his education as a doctor at USC Medical School. He advanced his skills as an intern with two of the most prominent doctors in Los Angeles in the late 19th century. When he graduated at the top of his class, they offered him a position of practice there in Los Angeles with them. What a coup. To be given a job at the best medical practice in Los Angeles. His life was set. Easy Street was right there. A physician in L.A., his life was set. but he chose to follow a seed of faith that was planted in his heart as a young man. And that was to minister to the country of Africa. It was called the Dark Continent back then because little was known about it. And what was known about it wasn't good. Malaria, blackwater fever, sleeping sickness took the lives of many missionaries. And these missionaries had gone to be servants and to work with the peoples of Africa. He had this seed planted in him for a long time, and he just couldn't get it out of his mind. So he said, I'm taking my skill and going to Africa to help the peoples of Africa. In 1894, he married a woman named Mary. And on that day, that very day, they set sail for Africa. It was a one-month journey in the 19th century to cross the Atlantic to the Cameroon, where he went to be a missionary, a medical missionary in Equatorial Africa. It's a long ocean voyage, a voyage he will make 18 times. In his diary, he wrote his prayer to God. Please, give me 20 good years in Africa. Please, Lord, 20 good years. Enough time to bring healing and your gospel to this land. This was him stepping out in faith. This is what I want, Lord. This is what's in my heart. I want to plant seeds. I want to watch them grow. I want to reap the harvest. And I think I can do that in 20 years. So please, let me do it and give me 20 years in Africa. God answered his prayer and then doubled it. He was in that country for 40 years, ministering through medicine and the preaching of God's gospel. He established 28 schools in villages deep in the jungles of the Cameroon, which had never been penetrated before by Westerners. He helped translate the New Testament into Bulu language, the local language. In 1919, he got the French government, which controlled this part of Africa, to donate 700 acres of land so that they could build a hospital. But then they had to build the hospital. And this was a big step of faith. So he wrote a letter to the Presbyterian board, the church that sent him, mission board, and said, I need $50,000. Keep in mind, it's 1919. $50,000. I need modern equipment. I need a building. I need doctors. I need nurses. We have 700 acres here. We can build it. God answered his prayer. A wealthy woman in the United States passed away and left a large sum of money to the Women's Presbyterian Mission Fund. $25,000 went right to Dr. Silas Johnson. He came back to the United States and raised the other $25,000. God blessed him. They built their hospital. The first church he had on the shores of the Cameroon had 6 members. He preached to those 6 members every Sunday. He healed the people of the village. It grew to over 3,000 members. By 1933, the church at Eilat was the largest Presbyterian congregation in the world with 7,000 members. Was God in this? Did he make the right decision? I think so. He died in 1936. 20 years later, in 1956, his daughter, also a missionary, who'd worked there quite a bit, went back to see Eilat. And she found there in the Cameroon 155 churches, 86 African pastors, and 83,000 members. He passed his legacy to his 2 daughters, who became registered nurses and married missionaries and continued his work in the Cameroon. In fact, his daughter was the first white child ever born in the Cameroon. His daughter Mary, named after her mother, had 4 children of her own there in Africa. And she passed the legacy faith onto them. Her oldest daughter At the age of 10, was sent back to the United States, as most missionary children were, and separated from their families so they get their education here in the United States and grow up. But still, in the faith and the legacy, there was sacrifice there, lots of sacrifice. Well, that daughter married a minister here in the United States, and their ministry flourished with God's help. She and her husband were at the 9:30 service this morning. They came here to hear their son talk about how proud he is to be part of a legacy of faith. They came to see their son stand here and talk about how proud he is to be a servant and to be a line of servants to go back to Jesus Christ. This family of faith is something that we all belong to. We are all part of this family when we become Christians. And it is this legacy of faith and service to the world that we pass on to our next generations that we saw here during the children's sermon. We are God's representative, and as such, we are called to minister to a world in need, just as Christ did. He is our example, and he made that very clear in the upper room 2,000 years ago. I want to close today with reading something from Ben Stein. Some of you might know who Ben Stein is. He's written a column online. He's quite an amusing, very intelligent man. For many years, he wrote this column about the movie stars that he met at Morton's Steakhouse every Monday night. And he'd get on the next morning and write about the movie stars and what they were doing and everything. And this last column, before he shut down his column, he said, "You know, after all these years of writing about these stars," he said, "I had to really take into consideration who are the stars in this world." He says, "They're not movie stars. They're not people who live in $100 million homes, ride around in limousines. We put them on the cover of our magazines, but they're not the heroes." So the real heroes are the soldiers in Iraq who are laying down their lives for their country. He said, "The true heroes are the firefighters who ran up the building in the World Trade Center as it was coming down to save other people's lives." So true heroes are the nurses in hospices taking care of people dying of cancer and being there for their last moments on earth. And teachers who are teaching our next generation. These are the true heroes. He said, "I had to evaluate my life. What were the most important things?" He said, "That was raising my children, being a good husband to my wife, and being a good son to my parents." He said, "I was on my father's deathbed when he was dying with my sister, and we were reading him the Psalms as he slipped into eternity. And he said, this was the only point at which my life touched the lives of the soldiers in Iraq and the firefighters in New York. I came to realize that life lived to help others is the only one that matters, and that it is my duty, in return for the lavish life God has devolved upon me, to help others he has placed in my path. This is my best use as a human." Let us sing now, "Here I Am, Lord."
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? And here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in the heart.
Oh Lord, show us how we can be a servant to your people in this world of need. Let your healing spirit flow through us to teach those who are in need of your love and your forgiveness. We may all be called to Africa to be ministers, or to minister to the dying in Calcutta. But show us where and how we can be a minister in the community in which we live, to co-workers, to family, to neighbors, whoever we put in our path. Let us be an open channel for your healing spirit. Be with us, Lord, as we pray the prayer which Jesus taught his followers as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And give us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.